Okay, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. I tried to spend a few minutes yesterday in the history, trying to find out the last time that the Rams and the Titans have met each other. I couldn't find any time when the Rams and the Titans had ever met before. The Rams, of course, play a very important part through biblical history. It was a ram that Abraham found, captured, and taken the place of Isaac, his son. And so I don't know if there's any significance in that at all. But so let's prepare ourselves. We got plenty of time. The game doesn't start till 5:20. Let's see. I don't think anyone here lives over an hour away, so we go to 4:20. No, we won't. No way. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in prayer and for the Spirit to open our eyes as to what's going on when we find another believer in sin, find another believer in darkness, and got two types of friends. We got, first of all, we're going to close this aspect of this one. This would be Sunday. Don't want any of these little studies to take very long in dealing in our study of the crisis of faith. But I have to realize that Satan is after our faith. That is the battle. And most Christians can't see beyond the sin. They can't see the real spiritual warfare. Have the opportunity in dealing with one another when this is going on of either being like Job's three friends and attack and judge, or you can be like Peter's friend, Jesus Christ, who is going to pray for him. So we have an interesting aspect in our study of the battle of faith and the crisis of faith, but so that the Spirit can... Father, we pray this morning that your Spirit will open our eyes, we might see what's going on in the text before us and why this is recorded in your eternal word. What is the lesson, the challenge for each of us individually? Everything recorded in Scripture, all of the various episodes that are recorded, are recorded, Heavenly Father, for the edification of our individual lives and our individual souls in the journey that we make in life. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will cause us to see the importance of this in the battle of faith. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. History of man is really a history. Just take the secular aspect of history of man is a history of war. I watched last night the movie Zulu. It was on one of the channels. And great war that went on, and the fighting between the Zulu and the British Army, military branch that was there, and just the whole history of man is war after war, and come about the question, when you think about it, of why war? Our generation, though I was born in the midst of war, our generation really hasn't been involved in a world war, a major war, something like the war between the states here, or even World War II, World War I. But war has always been a part, and over all of man's history, millions of men and women have died at a very young age on the battlefield. Take our own country. As I sat there and watched it, our own country, less than 200 years old, or just over 200 years old now, seen so many wars. The Revolutionary War, which founded our country, the War of 1812, two world wars, and all kinds of skirmishes, battles, and wars in between there. And take a look at war, a lot of different philosophy. There's the economic philosophy of war, that it takes care of overpopulation. You might think that's a rather inhumane way of looking at it, but I'm sorry, that's a reality and of secular history. And so war takes care of that. And There's other economic outlooks and studies in regard to war, sociology, psychology, different aspects and study of understanding why war, why men and women go to war, why countries fight each other. But for us, we have to have the eyes to see that it's just a picture of what we're really involved in a spiritual warfare. And the darkness and the light that's going on in the spiritual warfare and political wars and the wars that you and I know through history with all the guns and tanks and missiles and all the rest of it, the evolution of weapons, the evolution of war. People, it's just a reading of what you and I are involved in every day in the spiritual aspect. And there are a lot of casualties in the spiritual. And I'm sorry, because with the casualties in the spiritual, Christians just see there you deserve that. You wouldn't see a soldier, even if you didn't like the guy next to you, and a bullet pierced his brain or his chest or his leg, well, you deserve that. But Christians, we love to stomp on the casualties of war and the spiritual warfare. We love to call people losers. We love to call people sinners. It makes us feel better. It makes us feel more righteous, more deserving of something before God. Because we haven't gotten the picture yet of even our own depravity before God. It was not as an unbeliever, but as a believer that the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." Not as an unbeliever, as a believer. We haven't caught on to this because we open the scriptures with our eyes closed to self-righteousness, in self-righteousness. But all of these wars are really just pictures. Really just pictures of the spiritual warfare that we're all in. The problem is we don't see the blood, pardon the expression, ladies, and the guts hanging out. We don't see it. We dress up nicely, and even those who are in a great area of battle will dress up nicely and look okay physically, while inside such turmoil and battle, casualty in so many different ways. And as I looked at the different personalities, and this was based on a true story, Zulu was, looked at the different personalities in the battle, it's not unlike Christianity. Not unlike Christianity. A man that was that most people are just a loser, a bum, turns out getting what you and I call the Congressional Medal of Honor in that battle because he came through when the chips were really down. Let's talk about the prodigal son. Most Christians would just scorn him, but look how he ended up. So what we're looking at, and often those who look so high and mighty when the chips are down are not there. They're not so high and mighty. Judgment seat or deficiency rating, when we all stand before Jesus Christ, people, going to be a lot of religious Pharisaic leaders who are Christians that will be there. They're going to be greatly surprised. They never were in the Holy Spirit, not for a moment. Never walked in the Spirit, but also self-righteous in all of that they did. So what we want to realize is that we are in a spiritual battle. Paul, in a great military speech, declares, tells us to fight the fight of faith. And this is what we're in the midst of partly looking at in the crisis of faith. And we have come to failing faith. Failing faith. When faith fails. And again, most Christians like to judge and scorn those when their faith fail, but not Jesus Christ. Now, last week we finished up verse 31 in Luke 22, so let's just read that and then move to verse 32 in dealing with this. So we're at Luke chapter 22, and let's look at verse 31. Now, in 31, we have the wonderful reminder, or not a reminder, but a wonderful challenge and exhorting Peter as to what's going to happen. Simon, Simon, and we won't go through all of this. We studied why the repetition of the name, why he called him Simon and not Peter. Just a few verses down, he'll call him Peter. But here he calls him Simon, Simon. Then we looked at behold. And then we saw the confrontation. Satan has demanded permission, and we dealt with that word, demanded permission. What he really wants is to claim him back. The Greek has the idea of claim him back into his kingdom of darkness. Has demanded permission to claim you back into the kingdom of darkness and then to sift you like wheat. And this is where we left off last Sunday. So now we continue with the Lord's response. Now, get the picture. Get the picture, because how beautifully it parallels Job chapter 1 and 2, the first book of the Bible written. And I keep trying to get you to understand, Job is the first book written because it's the first thing God wants us to know. And if you can understand Job, you're going to have the whole Bible and the whole plan of God understood. And how does Job start out? We have God and Satan in heaven having this conversation, this confrontation over a man on earth. Now, he's down here in the physical realm. This is going on in the throne of God, the throne of God. Now, let's take a look what we have here. We have a relationship between God and Satan. It's in the heavenly realm. Satan has gone to God and has demanded permission to come down and to act against this man, Peter, a believer, just like Job was. Now, just to continue, Job, let's do it, we'll put Job on this side, and we'll put Peter over here. So here's Job. And Job, he's got three friends in the midst of his confrontation and his part of all of this. And Peter, over here, Peter's got one friend. And we're going to take a look now at the three friends who now are involved with their friend here in this great battle of what's going on up here. So Satan has gone before God, and he has demanded permission to come down and to act on Peter and sift him away, take away his faith. People, that's his objective. We get so involved, and I'm not, if you come on Wednesday night to our study in 1 John, you're going to understand, or we're going to see just how horrible any sin is. Christians get all concerned about, you know, big sins. Any sin breaks fellowship. Any sin takes you into the darkness, people. But what is his objective? Is his objective to get you to sin? Or is his objective to get you to stop trusting God with the result that you will sin? It's spiritual. People, it's not a matter of sinning or not sinning. It's a matter of will you walk in faith? Will you trust me? And of course, if we're walking in faith and trust Him, we will not sin. But sin, if people who concentrate on sin are missing the whole point of the spiritual warfare. The point is, will you trust me? Will you have that relationship with me? And Satan is so jealous when you walk by faith. He is so jealous of that relationship with God that he wants to break it. He wants to get you into his kingdom. Now, what does Jesus Christ do in a case like this? Verse 32. But, okay, conjunction, contrast. We got one person, one creature, supernatural, asking God to tear you apart and to break your faith. But, now we're going to have another one going on. But I have prayed for you. Okay, stop right there. Do you see the drama? I hope you could just see the drama of what's going on. You know, we can sit and watch things on television, and it's visually done. I grew up, started growing up before television, to show my age. We listened to the radio. And before I ever had the television show me Superman flying in the air, it was all in my mind when we listened to it on the radio. Nobody showed us what it looked like. You listen to mysteries or comedies or whatever you listen to, you had to see it in your mind because there wasn't any television to do that graphics for you. So you had to create these imageries in your own mind. Now, get the imagery of what's going on. Get the drama of what's going on at the throne of God. Here we are at the throne of God. Now, what's going on at the throne of God? First of all, there is a supernatural creature. People, not just any supernatural creature. This is the epitome, the seal of God's creation. This is the greatest, if you want to use that word, most perfect, beautiful creature that God could create. Lucifer changed to Satan. So we have this supernatural creature has some intimacy with God that you and I cannot even begin to penetrate. What's going on between God and Lucifer, God and Satan? He's at the throne of God demanding Peter. So God and Satan having this confrontation. Now, at the same time now, here we have Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ comes before the throne. Now watch this. Here is the enemy of God making a request for a man down here. Pardon the expression, a man called Peter. That'd be a good name for a title of a movie, wouldn't it? Alright, a man called Peter down here. Now, and over here is the Son of God making a request. This drama that's going on in heaven is unbelievable. All the relationships and God and the epitome of His creation, Satan. God and Jesus Christ, His Son. And who's caught in between all this? This poor guy down here with a loud mouth and big feet called Peter. Here he is down here just trying to get through the day. Okay, two requests now come before the throne of God. One by Satan. Let me have him. One from the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Two requests now come before God. One to have Peter, sift Peter's faith. The other to support Peter. And people, what's the drama? God is going to grant both requests. This is what's beautiful. God is going to say yes to Satan. God is going to say yes to His Son. Only God can do that. This is beautiful. Only God can say yes to both of these when their requests are so antithetical of what they want to do to this poor man down here. So antithetical. And here's God who is going to grant both. Okay, let's take a look at what Jesus Christ does. And I, person of Jesus Christ, Peter's Savior? Yes. Peter's friend? Yes. And that's what's at play here. Peter's friend. Yes, he's going to pray. Okay. Satan has demanded you, but I, for my part, have prayed for you. Okay, people, you can just start. You know, throughout our study, most of it has been what happens to me in the crisis of faith, what happens to me in the testing of faith. But now, let's not be Peter for a moment, because we're all going to be Peter. But now, let's look at ourselves. What kind of friend am I going to be? Am I going to be the friend like Job's three friends? Job's friends? Or am I going to be a friend like Peter had? What kind of friend am I going to be in this? What kind of friend am I going to be? Am I going to be a friend like Job had? Or am I going to be a friend like Peter had? Because they both are going to go under. Job and Peter are both going to have their faith attacked and sifted. And now you get to come along and you see this believer in sin. You see this believer in darkness. You see this believer in failure. What kind of friend are you going to be? Okay? Here we have Satan versus Jesus Christ. Satan versus the throne of God, Satan versus Peter. Satan is jealous. He cannot stand what is happening with Peter and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ praying for protection. Jesus Christ praying for protection now. This is the kind of friend that Peter has, and he is all the better for it. This is spiritual love in action. This is love that you and I are to imitate people. What does spiritual love look like? Here's what it looks like. Here's what spiritual love looks like. Oh, I have plenty of spiritual love. Yeah, as long as everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. What kind of spiritual love do you have when they're not doing what they're supposed to do? When they really fail. See, we like to pride ourselves that I have spiritual love. And yeah, it's when everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. But where's your love, supportive love, when they're not doing what they're supposed to do? Okay, this is great comfort for Peter, but Peter doesn't even understand the comfort right now. First, he's informed that Satan is going to try to sift him like wheat. That should bring great fear. Then knows that Jesus Christ is going to pray for him, and that's going to bring great comfort. Let's take a look at what Christ does. Because last week we spent some time on has requested or demanded permission. All right, let's take a look at the word used for Jesus Christ. But I have prayed. There is passive indicative of the verb simply to ask. Satan has demanded, but now we have the simple word for asking in prayer used by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ tells Peter that Satan has demanded permission to sift you, but Peter, I have prayed for you. Preposition concerning you. Now we studied the Greek word used by for Satan's use. Jesus Christ uses the word deomai. This word means to offer a petition based on a real need from the spiritual aspect, the spiritual warfare. Now, here's how we can pray in regard to one another. Instead of slam dunking people, this is what you and I do. This is what you and I can do. We can go into prayer. Now, Jesus Christ knows that Peter is about to come under severe angelic satanic attack. People, he knows something you and I don't know, maybe not know. He knows Peter's going to fail. He knows Peter is going to fail this test. He is going to fail this drama. Satan's going to win. And I want to tell you right now, people, if Satan ever calls your name, you're going to lose. You're going to fall. Don't stand there, oh, no, not me. You. There's only one person. If he didn't, that's Jesus Christ, but he did bruise his heel. But you will fail if this creature calls your name and demands to have you. All right. Now let's learn from Jesus Christ. He knows Peter's going to fail. He knows he's going to fail, but he still prays for him. So let's learn from Christ. Learn to pray for believers in rough times, simple times, difficult times, times of the failure of their faith. Let's take a look at what Jesus Christ is going to do. He's going to pray for him. People, this is great comfort. Now, maybe your friends won't. Maybe your friends are like Job's. And I'm sorry. I really am. But I want you to be aware of the fact that even if your friends are like Job, and even if you are like one of Job's friends, that person that you are letting have it, they have somebody that is praying for them. And that one is Jesus Christ. I think it's worth looking at. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Hold your place here and just take a look at Hebrews 7:25. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Okay? Now, we're in Hebrews 8 next Sunday morning, but this is Hebrews 7:25. Hence also, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives. How about that? This is why Jesus Christ lives. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. You're seeing an example of that intercession. at the point of failure. People, most Christians like to pray for Christians that are succeeding, going along and all of this, and separate from those who are not. Not Jesus Christ. He's not that kind of friend. He intercedes when intercessory prayer is really needed. Okay. Now, so we know that Jesus Christ is praying when Satan desires to attack. What does Jesus Christ pray? Let's learn. We're going to learn about prayer, faith, testing of faith, praying for faith, all kinds of things. What does he pray? I want to first of all notice what Jesus Christ does not pray for. Jesus Christ does not pray that God will not grant Satan's request. That's very important. Sometimes parents like to do everything they can to remove any kind of failure opportunity, pardon me, way of expressing that, from their children. Can't do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to. Parents like to hide their children. Hide their children from the world in which we live in. Get them over here in a little commune. Hide them from what's going on in the world. Can't do that. Shouldn't do that. We are in this world. Not of the world, but we're in the world. Jesus Christ does not pray, "Oh, Father, don't do what Satan wants to do. Don't let Satan have this man. Keep Satan away from him." See, this gets back to what would Jesus do? That we don't know what Jesus would do. And I'm not even saying that every time Jesus Christ would do this. But this old thing of WWJD, what would Jesus do? What do you think he would do? I give you, without knowing this passage, Satan has come down and asked to get one of the leaders, the leader, and bring him down and just attack him and set up a scenario of circumstances where the man will fail and drop faith and all of this stuff. And what would you think Jesus would do? "Oh, Father, I know what Jesus would do. He'd pray, oh, God, don't let that happen. Protect Satan from all of that. Let him have a broken leg while he's on his way following Jesus Christ. Let him get mugged some way so that he doesn't come under Satan's attack. Let something else happen, but don't let that happen." Oh, God, I know that's what Jesus would pray. To keep Satan away from him. Isn't what Jesus Christ prays at all? Isn't that what Jesus Christ prays at all? He doesn't pray, "Oh, God, Father, don't let Satan have his request. Peter really means good. Peter's really a good old boy. I really like him. Yeah, he's got a big mouth sometimes, but that's kind of like one of the reasons I like him. Don't know really, well, Jesus Christ does know, but in the human realm, don't know what he's going to say next, what he's going to do. So, kind of, don't let it happen to him. He doesn't really need this kind. Not what he prays at all. Let's take a look at what he does pray. Let me tell you another thing. He does not pray that Peter will not fail either. See, you can have two prayers. One prayer, "God, don't grant Satan's request." That's one prayer. But he didn't pray that. Another prayer is, okay, if you grant to say, don't let Peter fail. Let Peter rise above the tide like he did when he walked on water. Let him rise above it. He doesn't even pray that Peter won't fail. We learn a lot about prayer. He does not pray that Peter will not fail. Now, some of you will desire that Christ would pray for you. Say, "Oh boy, I'm in a, God, just, I'd like Jesus Christ to pray I never fail. I'd like him to pray that Satan leave me alone." That's not what's going to happen. Jesus Christ isn't going to do that. He's not going to pray that at all. That's between God and Satan. Don't interfere, people. Don't interfere. That's between God and Satan. And just as we saw last week when we looked at Jude, angels, Michael doesn't even involve himself with Satan to fight him. Know what Jesus Christ doesn't pray? Very important here. Okay, if Jesus Christ does not pray that Satan's quest will not be granted, if he does not pray that Peter will not fail, what does Jesus Christ pray? Okay, his prayer involves two aspects. One, faith. And two, the works of faith. Let's take a look. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now, it's going to look like it did, doesn't it? This is why it's so difficult for a lot of Christians to read these things. Because it really looks like his faith does fail. And we can say, yes, it did fail. Well, we got to understand what Jesus Christ's prayer is. Understand? It's kind of like Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11 praises Abraham. But I know so many Christians who would like to say, now, Father, you got that really wrong. Because he failed a lot of times. There was that whole thing with Hagar. And it was all... God didn't... That's not where God's looking. That's where you look. That's not where he looks. He says Abraham's a man of faith. Very confusing until you let God open your eyes as to what's going on. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once you have turned again, well, that lets you know it did fail, doesn't it? Something did happen. But it says not fail. And once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. What a fantastic prayer by Jesus Christ here. The kind of prayers we need to learn to have. It's a very short prayer, isn't it? It's not an hour long. It's about 30 minutes long. I'm not saying anything against prayer 30 minutes, an hour. I'm just saying the most powerful prayers don't have to be in a long time of prayer. Okay, let's take a look now. Jesus Christ prays in regard to faith. And the reason for this, because faith is the battle. Faith is what Satan wants. Jesus Christ does not pray in regard to the failure or not failure. He doesn't pray in regard to doctrine or learning something. All of these kinds of things that we get caught up in, that isn't where he prays in regard to this man's faith. Now, we come to a question. Very important theological question. Pardon that 50-cent word. Because it kind of, when you say the word theology or theological, it kind of takes it out of the personal realm, and I don't mean to do that. But let's just say, come to a very important spiritual question. Now that's even better. That keeps it personal. Very important spiritual question. Can we pray in regard to another believer's faith? Can we pray in regard to another believer's faith? Jesus Christ does. So can you. So can we. We can pray in regard to another believer's faith. I know people, oh, no, you can't. That's their own individual volition and God doesn't interfere with that. Got all their wonderful Aristotelian logic, their law logic, and their logic from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and all the rest of it. I'll follow the example here of Jesus Christ's prayer. He prays in regard to faith. So you can use your logic or you can follow the Son of God. So you got your pick. All right, let's take a look now. Jesus Christ prayed for Peter's faith. He prayed for the recovery of his faith and right back into service. This is what Jesus Christ prayed for. This is an example for us to pray for each other's in regard to faith. Now for the Lord's Prayer. And that's what I'm calling this. On the tape, we're going to call it the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. I know. Now lay me down to sleep. No, that's not the Lord's Prayer, is it? No. So here's the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is right here. This is the one you're wanting to pray. Say, this is it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, this is the one you're wanting to pray for you. This is the Lord's Prayer for us daily. It's in regard to our faith, to our walking in faith and trusting Him. This is a great prayer of the Lord. Far, far greater for us than what people call the Lord's Prayer. That's for the Jews, really, that's taken in its historical context. That's for the Jews. But this is the Lord's Prayer. This is a great prayer. All right. But I have prayed for you. That introduces what Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father in relationship, in regard to Peter. So here's God getting Satan requesting. And now up comes a phone call, if you please. The phone rings in the midst of Satan making all his... The phone rings in now. And it's God's own son. Dad, I'm making a prayer in regard to Peter. That's funny you did that. I got somebody standing right here talking about Peter. This is the drama is wonderful of going on in heaven. Hope you can just sense it. Okay. That your faith not fail. All right, the word faith here is pistis. This is faith. Active faith. They're walking by faith. Faith is the battle. Now, it says not fail. We have the aorist active subjunctive of a compound word, eklepo. I want to say this for just a few moments in what the word means, but or look further at the word. But the word means to fail. The word means to leave. The word means to forsake. The word means to be deficient. Now, you take something like that, and let's see how it's going to flow into his prayer request here. All right? Let's note a few things. We don't usually go to points, but I want to take this in points so that we can expedite this study. So let's note a few points about this prayer, faith, what's going on. Point one, Peter's faith. Peter's faith is under siege. Satan starts sifting him. The word sifting now from last week, he starts setting up the scenario for his failure. There's a scenario, and you have to appreciate the scenario. People, I know Christians are very self-righteous about scenarios. Well, if you hadn't have hired that woman to be in your office, if you hadn't had gone to that club, if you hadn't done this, if you hadn't done that. What I want you to do is appreciate Satan can set a scenario unbelievably. What could be more innocent than a man wanting to warm his hands on a cold night? What could be more admirable or honorable than just wanting to at least follow and see what they're going to do with Jesus Christ, his friend Jesus? So he follows him around the background. Now he's cold. It's natural. I want to go over here. There's a fire. We can picture one of these big gas can things. Okay? So he goes over to this fire, a little fire. Start warming his hands. Satan has set up a whole scenario. It's dark. That ought to tell you the time of Satan. It's cold. There's a fire. Come to the fire. Warm your hand. And where's Peter now? He's in the midst of all those who hate Jesus Christ. And right there, he's going to start denying, and he's going to go down. If you can set that same scenario up for teenagers, you can set the same scenario for anybody. Satan is a genius at setting up scenarios to attack our faith. I was just driving down the road. I was just doing this. I just wanted to do that. I just wanted to warm my hands. Well, you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have warmed your hands. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. You know? Oh, how we are. We're so great. We don't even begin to compare with the genius of Satan at setting up a scenario. All orchestrating. Choreographing? Choreographing everything necessary to attack your faith. People, don't get involved with that aspect. Pray for one another's faith. Okay, point one, Peter is under siege. Satan is starting to sift him. Peter's faith is coming under attack, just like your faith will come under attack. This is what Satan seeks to do to every born-again believer. I know you think he wants to make everybody a big sinner. Wants to make everybody a big, you know, in some moral sins or this sin or that sin. No, what Satan wants to do is get you to stop trusting God. He doesn't care whether it's a moral sin or whether you're out being religious and living by the law and you look so wonderful to the world. You're a great preacher. You're great this. You're great that. You're so pious. You're so wonderful. You're not even close to the plan of God. It's right where Satan wants you. And there's no difference between the person out doing great sins, moral sins, and the person over here being very morally righteous before the world. They're both alienated from God, people. Satan's attack is our faith, trusting him. These look good. These don't look good, but neither are close. Okay, so the scenario is set. Peter's faith is under siege. Point two, Peter's friend. Point one, Peter's faith is undeceived by Satan. Point two, Peter's friend, Jesus Christ, prays for Peter. He prays that Peter's faith will not be completely taken away. Point three, the battle of mankind is not a political war. The battle for mankind is a battle of faith. This is what Satan, the enemy of God, seeks to take away from you, is your faith. Your trust in God. That's what he seeks to take away, people. Point four. So we got point one, Peter's faith undeceived by Satan. Point two, Peter's friend Jesus Christ praying for him. Point three, the battle of faith. That's what they're battling over. Point four, this is how important your faith is. This is how important your faith is to Satan, people. Get it down in your soul, if not in notes. This is how important your faith is to Satan. He wants you to stop walking by faith. He will do it theologically. He will do it sinfully. He will do it whatever you want. I know a pastor who tells his people, God doesn't even want your faith. That's by a pastor. So you've got to understand, it doesn't matter how you're going to look at it. The goal by Satan is to attack your faith. This is the important area of your life, your faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ as believers. What does Satan want to do? I don't want you to trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to put a veil of darkness over you. Don't trust him. Be religious, be good, work hard, do all of this stuff. Be baptized, walk in the aisle, sing in the choir, do 100 things, but don't trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. That's what he wants to stop you from doing. He doesn't care if you're singing in the choir or singing in a bar. It doesn't matter to him as long as you're not trusting God, walking by faith. That's all that matters to him. That's all that matters. Okay, so this is how important your faith is to Satan, people. This is how important your faith is to Jesus Christ. He prays for your faith. It's the heart of the issue, people. It's important to Satan. It's important to Jesus Christ. And do I need to add, it is vital to God. Because people, faith is the way that we tap into the power of God. Faith is the way that we tap into getting God, having a relationship with God, walking with God. That's the great issue. And if Satan can come along and cut it off, it's important to Satan, it's important to Jesus Christ, it's important to God, it ought to be important to you. That ought to be the driving force in your life. Walking by faith. God the Holy Spirit who is sent to us. God can only act, people, in a positive manner. God can only act in regard to our faith. He saves when? When you have faith. That's when he saves. He doesn't save when you confess. He doesn't save when you repent. He doesn't save when you feel sorry. He doesn't save in all of those things. When does he save us eternally? The point we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That's when God can act. As believers, and we sin. He can't bring us out of that darkness as believers now like we did as unbelievers. He can't bring us out when we confess. He can't bring us out when we repent. That doesn't bring a relationship. What brings a relationship, I trust you. Boom. Now you're in the light. And as long as you walk by that, you remain in the light. And Satan wants to come along. And people, please understand, he can do it 100 different ways. He can do it in what you and I would call directly sin. He can do it in what we wouldn't understand as religion, being involved religiously. He can do it in a number of ways. And here with Peter, he's going to do it just in denial. Not just in denial, but in denial, which is the heart of all sin. The heart of all sin is denial. It doesn't matter if Peter is denying Jesus Christ. It could have been some form of moral sin. It could have been criminal sin. It could have been anything you want it to be. Name any sin you want it to be. At the heart of all sin is the denial of God and of Jesus Christ. You say, I will take over from here. That's what sin is. I will work now. I will do my part. Some people, it's a religious thing. I will work for you. Some other people, I'll just get my way. And so I'll sin and get what I want out of life and I'll sin.
stealing, whatever it'll be. Mental attitude, gossip, maligning. It's the same picture. You're not trusting. And that's all Satan cares about. Just get you not to walk by simple faith in God. But God, our faith is that which joins us into relationship with God. Our faith matters to Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, our Savior, our friend. He prays constantly for you, what? In regard to our faith. He prays that our faith will not be completely sifted away from us. He doesn't pray that your faith will never be tested, people. He doesn't pray that you will not fail. Most Christians want to pray, oh, I don't want these people to fail. I don't want this person to fail. And I'm going to pray, God, don't let them fail. That's not how Christ prays. Our failure shakes us all up, it doesn't God. But Christ does pray us when it returns. That your faith will return. And that you'll get right back into relationship with God. This is what's beautiful. Do we put so much stake on the failing? We'll jump to John 21. Peter, do you love me? Peter has a lot of trouble in John 21. A lot of a stirring going on in his soul. He can't even use the same word for love Jesus Christ. Why? Because he felt so ashamed at his failure. And Jesus Christ said, hey, feed my sheep. What does he say here? Strengthen one another? That's feeding a sheep. Okay, let's take a look now. 1:5. This happens. This does happen, can happen, it will happen to every born-again believer walking or attempting to walk by faith. In the trials and the testings, the crisis of faith, the testing of faith, you'll have your faith sifted away. Now, you're still saved. You're still saved. The prodigal son, we take that example, is still saved. Peter is still saved. A person is very religious, doing law. They're still saved. I feel just as bad for a person that's very self-righteous and very, you know, very religious as I do a poor sinner out there, people. I do. I personally feel just as much for this person that thinks they're doing great things for God and they're not even close as I do for somebody that is obviously in sin. Because this person that thinks they're so wonderful and they're so pious and they're so spiritual and they're so righteous, they're harder to show that they're not. The other person's brought to the point, I need him. I need him. Whereas a religious person never will see it. Very difficult to see. Okay, 6. Jesus Christ prays that Peter's faith is not sifted completely away. And God the Father, while granting Satan's request, is also going to grant Jesus Christ's prayer. This is beautiful how God does this. This is what kind of God you have. Now, this will not thrill a lot of Christians, but this is how great God is. Peter's faith is about to come under severe attack from Satan, and Peter will collapse. Peter will be broken here. A great deal of his faith will be taken away. He's not going to trust, but his faith will come back. His faith will come back. Now, Jesus Christ tells us exactly what's going to happen to Peter's faith and to our faith by his wording. Let's take a look. But I have prayed for you, for your advantage. Satan has requested something about you for your disadvantage. I pray something about you for your advantage, that your faith may not fail. Well, we have to look at the word that Jesus Christ uses for fail to understand what's going on, because I think we could all say, if we take the English word fail, it did fail. I think when you cursingly deny Jesus Christ, that you even know him, we could call that a breakdown of faith. We could call that a failure. You know, if you come across somebody robbing a bank, oh, I think their faith broke. I think they're failing the faith test. You find somebody right here with Peter, totally denying he even knows Jesus Christ. By the way, just a side point, a lot of people think if you deny Christ, you lose your salvation. Peter should have lost his salvation here. He didn't lose his salvation. People, you can deny Jesus Christ and God and you're red in the face. You're not going to lose your salvation. Here's a perfect example. He not only denies it, he denies it vehemently. He puts in, you know, we got all those little marks that you make when somebody's cursing. Well, you'd have to fill in a whole page of that with this thing of Peter. Read the Greek. It's what he's done. In profanity, he denies he even knows Jesus Christ. I think we could call that a breakdown of faith. I think we could call that a faith failure. Okay, let's see what Jesus Christ is saying then. Because if you just say with the English word, it looks like his faith did fail. And therefore, God didn't answer his prayer. Now let's take a look. Jesus Christ uses the aorist active subjunctive of a verb ex lipo. Let me give it to you on the board here. It's from the prefix ex and then lipo. I'm transliterating for you. Ek, they're not writing it in the Greek. Ek lipo. Eclipo. Eclipo. This is where we get the English word eclipse. That's what this word, this is where the English word eclipse comes from. The word eclipse is what? An abandonment. A cessation. And this is a perfect picture of what happens to Peter's faith at this time. Ek, this part means out. Ek means out. Lipo, to leave. Therefore, to leave out. To leave behind. To forsake. To be in want of something. To be invisible. To be, listen. To be there, but be invisible. Peter's faith is there, just as yours is always there. It just is invisible. Your grain of seed of mustard, or your grain of seed, a mustard seed of faith that God has given to you is always there. It's just eclipsed. You're not going to lose it. Jesus Christ's prayer is answered because he will not, this is not going to be a permanent eclipse. This is going to be a temporary loss, a temporary of leaving behind, to be invisible, to be there, but invisible. People, you find another believer in failure, in sin, their faith is there. Just like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he's there. What we want to do is pray that it will be activated, that faith will come back into play. All right. Now, all of these, in various ways, describe perfectly what's going on to his faith. This is a celestial analogy, if you will. In our time, we understand solar eclipse and lunar eclipse. We just had a total lunar eclipse. I couldn't find anybody that was up at 12:30, 1 o'clock, well, actually 1:15. I couldn't find anybody up when the lunar eclipse was here. Happened a couple of weeks ago. I stayed up to 1:30 to watch it all. And the entire process, the whole process of the total lunar eclipse, and it was really fascinating. Now, what happens in an eclipse? You have the obscurity or failure in some way related to, and you have three celestials at play here. You have the sun, so we'll put the sun here. This is the sun. And then depending on our eclipse that we're going to look at, we have two more players, and that is the moon and the earth. And one or the other is going to go into darkness. An eclipse can be total, it can be partial. Jesus Christ is praying that Peter will not have a total eclipse. Peter will have a partial eclipse. The analogy in our study, let's use it rather than the lunar, let's use the solar eclipse. Okay, so by analogy, we have the sun. The sun is God. That's going to be by our analogy. Now, we have the earth. And the earth, we'll put the earth out here. Here's the earth. And the earth is Peter. The earth is Peter. Mankind on earth, okay? Now, we have the moon. The moon is Satan, because he's referred to as the moon in the scriptures. And the earth is the place of mankind, so we have the moon. Now, what's going to happen? Here's the earth, and I'm going to make it a little bit bigger, but here's the moon, and the moon in this point is Satan. And what Satan is going to do here, he is going to come between Peter and God. He's going to come, the moon comes between the earth and the sun. Satan is going to come between you and God. This is what happens now to our faith. This is the eclipse that is going to take place. So, Satan is going to come between you and God. And when that happens, the light of the sun cannot come to Peter. Peter cannot see the light of God. So he's in darkness. He's in the darkness of the moon here. And the moon is taken, absorbs all this light, and cuts it off from the earth, so that for this period of time, Peter and all of us are in this darkness that is brought about by Satan. Here's what happens. Here's what happens to our faith, people. When you and I stop trusting, we are cut off from this light. As we're studying in 1 John on Wednesday evening, you're cut off from this light, and you are in darkness. And Satan is in the middle, and he loves this state. He loves being here. He loves cutting off your relationship with the light. You're still saved, still the earth, and the God is there. And by the way, Peter's faith is still there. Right now, that faith is not being used. It is in remission. It is cut off. And this is what Satan loves to do. Faith here, the root of this whole celestial thing that Jesus Christ is taking for a picture. Here's what happens to you in your life. When you stop trusting, and Satan's directly involved. Remember, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. If we wanted to have fun, I could put the world here, and you here. I could put your flesh here, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here is Satan. And they try to cut off you from the light of God, which means you stop trusting. And when you and I stop walking by faith, because we are eclipsed by the flesh, we are eclipsed by the world, we are eclipsed by Satan, it doesn't matter. Whichever of the three, the flesh is within us, the world system, and Satan, sets it all up. And by the way, remember, those three are often related. They're often interactive. Don't think we got one thing just for the world, one thing for the Satan, and one thing. Satan will often use the flesh and in the system of the world to cut us off from the sun. So it's just a phenomenal picture of what we have going on. But the whole attack here is Peter's faith. Well, I'd like to spend more time on it, but I think you get the picture of what's going on. Therefore, Satan seeks to cut us off from God, cut you off from the power of God, cut you off from the light of God, cut you off from walking in the light, cut you off. Now, when most Christians see another Christian here in this darkness, they're like Job's three friends. They attack and they judge. But Jesus Christ says, okay, Peter, when you are there, and you and me, when you are there, here's what I pray. I pray that this eclipse starts moving away and the light starts coming back at your faith. Start coming back and you start walking by faith again. That's what he prays. And Peter, when the eclipse is over and you're back in the light, I don't want you sitting down crying about the darkness. I want you right back, and I want you to strengthen other believers. I want you to what? Feed my sheep, is what he says in John chapter 21. I want you to feed my sheep. If most believers say, well, I think you need to sit down and really contemplate darkness for a while. That's what Christians want you to do. Contemplate darkness. I want you to sit down now and contemplate all this darkness, and I think it should take a while in your life to sit back and do it. Not God. Hey, the eclipse is over. You're back in the light. Feed my sheep. This is the way Christ prays in regard to faith. This is how you can pray in regard to one another's faith. Or you can be like Job's friends and do what they did. Okay, so faith here is the basis of all that is going on. Now, we have enough time yet. I want to share with you just so that you see different aspects of what's going on. There are different words that are used in to describe the various eclipses, the lunar eclipse, the solar eclipse that happen, and they're so perfect for our study of faith and the word that Jesus Christ uses here. A word that is used with all of this is the word abandonment. Now, I just bought some books and getting interested in a lot of things in the stars and stuff, but I'll try to make this very simple and very quick for us tonight, today. But abandonment is one. This is what the word eclipse means, abandonment. One body is abandoned by another. One body is abandoned by another. And in our study, God is abandoned by the faith of Peter due to the sifting by Satan. Peter's faith is abandoned here. Because he's in darkness. When you're in darkness, people, you're not in faith. Don't claim that you're in faith when you're in darkness. That's what they were doing in 1 John. You're lying. It'd be like Peter over here in darkness saying, no, 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 I'm in the light, I'm in the light. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're in darkness. Just that in that, you cannot see where you are. There's another word called obscuration or be obscure. One celestial body obscures another. Satan has obscured Peter's faith directed toward God. He's cut off the light. Oculation is another. O-C-C-U-L-A-T-I-O-N. Oculation. The state of being hidden. It's a state of being hidden from you. Lost to notice. Now I want to be sure you get the picture. Hidden from view. What's hidden from view? Peter's not hidden from the view of God. Just so you'll be sure, we look at it from the right perspective. We are hidden from him. We have hidden ourselves. We cannot see him. It's not a matter of him not seeing us. So the osculation, one being hidden from another, God is being hidden from us because we can't see. We're not hidden from him ever. Ever. When you're in the darkness, it may look like that, but it's not. You have hidden yourself from him. Something is blocking your light from God. World, the flesh, or the devil is blocking the light for you to see God and what God is doing. This is why Jesus Christ says to Peter, when once you have turned again, note the wording he uses. Once you have turned again, okay, what's he looking at? The eclipse is about over. The moon here starts moving away. And as the moon starts moving away, the light starts coming through back to Peter. And so Peter is back, going to be back then into the light. This is Jesus Christ's prayer. And he will be back into relationship with God. So this is what is going to happen. Now, but I have prayed for you that your faith not be totally eclipsed. This is the type of prayer that you and I have for one another in the spiritual warfare that we have for the battle. Now look at the last phrase in closing. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Okay, people, let's get a picture. Because we have everybody doing something in these two verses. Satan. All right? What's Satan doing? Satan has demanded permission to sift your faith. So, Satan has demanded permission to bring you into darkness. This is what Satan seeks to do. Okay? But, let me put a but in here. So here's what Satan does. Satan seeks to bring us into darkness. But I, Jesus Christ, have prayed for you. Okay? Now, you, on your part, let's see what Jesus Christ says. You, for your part. Satan's doing his part. He's playing his role. I'm playing my role. Intercessory prayer. I'm your friend. I'm going to pray for you. Now, what about your part? What are you going to do? All three have a part here. He's doing his part. He's doing his part. And what is he praying for other people? Peter, for you, I want you to go back to faith, get back to walking by faith, living by faith, functioning by faith. This is what I want you to do. And you, when? This is the assurance. Know what he says when? People, this is so important. When your faith returns, it's going to, Peter. When you're in that darkness of the eclipse, it's very frightening. Very, very frightening. One of the articles I read on the lunar eclipse went into a little bit of history. And the author told of various times in history when the lunar eclipse had been used to bring about various things. Columbus himself was in the island of Jamaica. And Columbus knew that the lunar eclipse was about to occur. And the Jamaicans would not give him and his men food or water. They would not give them food or water. And so Columbus used the lunar eclipse that night, and he put such fear in the Jamaicans, they gave him all the food and water he wanted and get him out of here. because he made them think he was going to keep the world in darkness. And so the moon came up, and then the eclipse occurred, and Columbus said, see, and if you don't give me food and water, it's going to stay dark. And so they gave him food and water, and he got out of there. Then it was used at Constantinople. They didn't know about it, and so somebody that did used it to put the Turks into fear, or the defenders of Constantinople in fear, and the Turks overtook it. So, brings great fear. Brings great fear in the environment. And a lot of Christians don't know that fear. They're so self-righteous. But when you're in this fear, when you're in this darkness, brings great fear. And so this is what where Peter is. He's in this great fear, and he gives him great comfort. Fear, your faith's going to return. He says, when? Now, I'm sure Peter didn't analyze all of this. I'm sure this went right over Peter's head. If he'd have sat down and walked away and said, now, wait a minute. Let me think about this. Let me exegete what Jesus Christ just said to me. Satan is on the God and is going to get me. Oh, boy. When my faith returns, that means my faith is going to go out. And when it does go out, it will return, all of this stuff. But I'm sure Satan didn't think about it, because we've studied how the first person that Jesus Christ sought out after the resurrection, not the first person who saw him, the first person he, Jesus Christ, sought after the resurrection was Peter. And I think that is a great demonstration of great prayer, of great spiritual love, because he knew the heaviness of Peter after being in that darkness. And we have some words recorded by Jesus Christ to Peter in John chapter 21. So he says, and you, when your faith returns. Okay, so we have the word to return here, epistrapo, means to turn forward. This is what's going to happen. It's going to turn forward. In other words, the light is going to come back in our picture. The sunlight's going to come right down on the earth. This is Peter. This is God. And when you're back in this position, then he says, what I want you to do is strengthen your brothers. Okay. How is this going to happen by Peter? Very simply, people. It's so simple. You learned it at the cross. Just go back to trusting. That's all. And the moment you go back to trusting, you're in the light. People, there is no time frame here where Peter needs to go and be set aside. That's why Jesus Christ can say, strengthen your brothers. Feed my flock. Once you're in the light, you're in the light. Don't sit there and contemplate the darkness, people. That will bring you down. Contemplate the light. Keep your eyes focused on the light. And get on moving in the light. So this is the turning from the state of sin, the state of darkness, back into the state of light. It's going from unbelief back into faith, walking by faith. And because of the prayer of Jesus Christ, Peter's faith will recover, will return. And he will be back into the light. And therefore, Jesus Christ says, when that happens, strengthen your brothers. See, people, it is as easy to return or recover. Listen. It is as easy to return or to recover as it was to enter into the light. You were in darkness as an unbeliever. How easy was it for you to enter into the light? Simply trusting. How easy is it when you're in the darkness as a believer? Just as easy. Simply trusting. It's that easy. Therefore, strengthen your brothers. This means strengthen other believers. Why? Because they will have gone through it. They will have experienced it. They will experience this darkness. They will experience this collapse and this eclipsing of their faith, and they will be in great fear. They will feel so ashamed. They will feel so bad. No, you strengthen your brothers. Now, get ready for next Sunday, or actually 2 Sundays from now, for our next episode. Faith can be strengthened. We're going to go right to this now, and to strengthen your brothers. How does it mean strengthen your brothers? What does that mean? Get them into the gym, get them working out. Get them taking some vitamins and herbs and get them, you know, really help. No. What do you mean strengthen your brothers? Strengthen their faith. You see, people, when this happens, other people, you're going to run into other people, their faith has been eclipsed. Things have happened to them. And you strengthen their faith. You strengthen them getting back. We're talking about those that have in sin and failed. You strengthen them back. You strengthen them back to walking in faith and getting back into the plan of God. So, failing of faith, the failure of faith. Satan can cause, the flesh can cause, and the world can cause our faith to fail, to be eclipsed. Not total. So if you're that believer that is under attack, there's a great lesson here for you in understanding that all God is looking for is the grain of mustard seed of faith. But if you're the friend of those in that, then this is also a lesson here for you. Because we're all going to be in both cases. Sometimes we're going to be the sinner or the sinner. Right? Some of us will be the sinner sometimes, and sometimes we'll be the friend of that person. The person who is dark in the darkness, sometimes will be that person, sometimes will be the friend of that person. Relative, parent, husband, wife, friend, whatever. What kind of friend are you going to be? Going to be the friend like Job's three friends? Very religious. People, it is astounding how much doctrine, use that word, how much doctrine Job's three friends had. It is amazing. Very few Christians have the amount of doctrine those three friends had. They weren't even close. In fact, they were so far off, God was ready to take them out. We're talking about three believers, unbelievable amount of doctrine. Didn't understand a thing they were talking about. Or even be a friend like Peter had. A friend like Jesus Christ. No long lectures. Not like those three friends. Jesus Christ just came there. Peter, I pray for you. Your faith is time. And when it does, strengthen your brother. Get back into it. Get going. So we have a lot of lessons in our failure of faith here, and we'll continue here in 2 weeks now, continuing to study the crisis of faith. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to open the Scriptures, knowing that your Spirit will enlighten it for us if we will allow Him. Point out what is going on in Scripture if we will permit Him by trusting Him to be the teacher. Father, we pray now that you'll take those things that we have seen that are truthful, put them into our souls as a reality in our daily life. In every aspect of the battle that we find ourselves in the battle of faith. Becoming so aware that it is this. Satan would love to eclipse. Sometimes, Father, we can know that we're in the darkness. And sometimes Satan can be so masterful, we think we're in the light, we think we're wonderful, while we're sitting in darkness. Pray that the Spirit will always convict. Let us know where we stand. Father, we praise you for the God that you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.